For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, community members Stephen Scharf and Jeff Dexter share their sentiments about preserving the Skinner's Falls Bridge in Milanville, Pennsylvania. They spoke to us at a recent event to celebrate the bridge that took place on Sunday, January 12th, inside Delaware Hall at the Union in Narrowsburg, New York. Stephanie Phillips finalizes her conversation with Kathy Dawkins and Debbie Burke from Calico Geese Quilters. In this segment, Now You Know, we'll hear more about the craft of quilting. All of that coming up on today's Farm and Country, after news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Israeli military spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari is welcoming the four female Israeli soldiers released today by Hamas, but he says Israel will not forget the others who are still being held in Gaza.
We cannot and will not forget the 90 hostages, including women, children, and elderly men, still remain in brutal conditions in Hamas captivity.
The four soldiers were handed over to the Red Cross in a brief ceremony today in Gaza City, with armed and masked Hamas fighters standing in line next to a stage. As part of the ceasefire deal that has brought a pause to the fighting, Israel released 200 prisoners and detainees today. The exchange is the second since the ceasefire went into effect nearly a week ago. President Trump's embattled nominee for Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, has been approved by the Senate by the narrowest of margins. Hegseth needed Vice President J.D. Vance to break a 50-50 tie in a vote on his nomination late last night. Hegseth was dogged by doubts about his qualifications, as well as allegations of sexual misconduct, public drunkenness, and financial mismanagement at two veterans nonprofits. Here's NPR's Tom Bowman.
Three Republicans, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine, and Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, voted against him, citing his alleged misconduct and his lack of experience. Hegseth is an Army National Guard combat veteran and former Fox News host, but he calls himself someone with dust on his boots who will be a change agent at the Pentagon, a place he claims has focused on woke politics and diversity at the expense of warfighting. Hegseth has changed his long-held stance against women in ground combat, saying women can serve in those roles as long as they meet the standards, but he says the fitness requirements are lower for women and has vowed a review. Tom Bowman, NPR News.
The Trump administration is giving immigration authorities new power to quickly expel migrants who are temporarily admitted into the country by the Biden administration. NPR's Joel Rose has more on a memo signed by acting Homeland Security Secretary Benjamin Huffman.
It appears to give immigration authorities permission to begin removing migrants who are admitted to the country under two Biden-era programs. That is the CBP One app, which allowed migrants to schedule appointments at ports of entry to begin their asylum claims. And the other is a separate program for people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela.
Those two Biden-era programs were terminated earlier this week. They admitted more than a million migrants into the U.S. President Trump will be in Las Vegas today. He's told a rally after touring disaster areas in Southern California and North Carolina, where he told reporters that he is considering getting rid of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. He said he prefers that states be given federal money to handle disasters themselves. And from Washington, you're listening to NPR News.
If you know our show, you know selected shorts means strictly short stories, usually. On this week's show, selected shorts also refers to a particularly coveted pair of lederhosen from writer Haruki Murakami. I'm your host, Meg Wolitzer. Join us.
Sunday night at 7 on Radio Catskill.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, how Lorne Michaels invented Saturday Night Live and reinvented television.
A bunch of times he thought television is just a backwater. Television was, you know, it was still the boob tube, and he was determined to help television catch up.
Susan Morrison on 50 Years of Saturday Night Live, next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org, and from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm your host, Rosie Starr. On today's show, community members Stephen Scharf and Jeff Dexter share their sentiments about preserving the Skinner's Falls Bridge in Milanville, Pennsylvania. They spoke to us at a recent event to celebrate the bridge that took place Sunday, January 12th, inside Delaware Hall at the Union in Narrowsburg, New York. Stephanie Phillips finalizes her conversation with Kathy Dawkins and Debbie Burke from Calico Geese Quilters. In this segment, Now You Know, we'll hear more about the craft of quilting. Thank you for joining us on Radio Catskill for this week's locally produced Farm and Country. On Sunday, January 12th, members of our Delaware River Valley community gathered inside the Union Building in Narrowsburg, New York, a large red brick structure that was once a Sullivan County school. The Delaware Hall was buzzing with folks sharing music, poetry, and sentiments in celebration of the Skinner's Falls Bridge that stands in Milanville, Pennsylvania. Built in 1902, the Skinner's Falls Bridge in Milanville is listed on the U.S. Register of Historic Places. Like anything else that's over 100 years of age, it's in need of maintenance and repair. But the Skinner's Falls Bridge is in danger of being torn down and not replaced. There are so many people that want this bridge to remain part of our Milanville community. Because it has unique architectural and structural ornamentation, the Skinner's Falls Bridge represents historic value to the Delaware River Valley and the Milanville Historic District. I spoke with many participants who expressed their cherished sentiments. Here are community members Stephen Scharf and Jeff Dexter.
My name is Stephen Scharf. I'm a resident of Narrowsburg. And we had a raffle drawing for a wooden artwork by Jeff Dexter. It's an American flag with the image of the Skinner's Falls Bridge and the inscription Skinner's Falls Bridge, 1902-2024. Hopefully it will be staying up a lot longer than that. I was the lucky drawer of the number, but I have no place to put this in my house. And I feel that the DCS could use this more than I could, so I'm donating it to them, letting them do whatever they wish. They can display it for educational purposes. They can sell it or auction it off to raise funds for the preservation of the bridge. I think it's more important that I help them out than just keep this on the hang on the wall or gathering dust somewhere.
That's very generous of you. Do you have any personal inspiration about the bridge, an experience you'd like to share?
I hate to see something that has been standing there for so long and considered a historic landmark end up being destroyed just because of some bureaucratic paperwork or the opinions of some politicians. I mean, but also the problem is we have three jurisdictions concerning this bridge. On one side is Pennsylvania, on the other side is New York, and the river going down is from the National Park Service. So it's such a complex situation. But I really would like to see it restored and kept up for historical purposes. I mean, it's a part of our history, and I hate to see history being destroyed.
That was Stephen Scharf, the recipient of the wooden flag.
Jeff Dexter. I live across the river from here in Beach Lake, Pennsylvania, Damascus Township. The etching or the engraving I put in that flag comes from the Ed Wesley photograph, because he did a photo pamphlet essay of the bridge taken from different angles in different seasons over a period of time. So that pamphlet has quite a few pictures, and this is the one I picked from his work to show the bridge.
Okay, so let's describe the construction of this artwork.
It is made from 13 strips of wood, which represent the stripes. So they're 1.5 by 3 feet. That's the way all flags are made. So the stars, you can buy the stencils for 3 or 4 different size flags. They last a long time. Etch the stars on it, and then I engrave it. I have never made a plain flag. There's over 30 of them. They all have a dedication to something. This one, I just went poking through things, and I have Ed Wesley's documents. And at the time, he told me that he gave it to me. He said, someday you will help save the mouth of the bridge with this. So he kind of knew, I think. Now, I'm sitting there always wondering what he meant by this, but once I started working on this, I go, Ed, you sly dog, you knew exactly what you were doing.
What is there on here that's particular to this that Ed would have said that to you?
Well, this is the trusses here, and this comes off his photograph. And so are the piers. The two piers are from this angle. That's New York State side on this side, Pennsylvania on this side. Now, one of the things they talk about, and I can't duplicate it on this size, is the amount of work that is not structural. They did little, I call it metal works on top, which for artistic purposes, and you see it, they duplicate over and over again. So there's some things on this bridge that are artistic in nature, and that's one of them right there. And it's got the center pier, the wood planks, the river goes underneath it, and the banks and stone piers. Those are the various elements of the bridge.
What type of wood did you use?
This is white pine. So I don't have to paint any white on these. It shows up because these are slightly charred, which deals with the history of the flag being the battle flag in the American Revolution. The stars, on the other hand, they're engraved. They are not painted. That's the white pine showing through. This white pine here is slightly charred. It doesn't show up as white as the stars do. Plus, the stars have got that dark blue around them, and they pop out just as well as if I painted them.
I want to add for the listener that white pine historically here are the trees that grew in the Cushatunk Milanville area.
And going further down river, you got the small little community called Masthope. It was so named because they located a very large white pine that they thought could be the main mast for the American ship U.S. Constitution. And that's where Masthope gets its name from. So the white pine back here were probably 200 or 300 years old. They grow nice and straight and tall, and they were very useful for shipbuilding. So the different communities up and down the coast are building ships that no other country can match. So they build the great clipper ships. They build the great warships. So you've got this going on in Philadelphia. They're doing the same thing and along the Hudson and the Mohawk. They're sending rafts down of huge pieces of white pine that will be used for shipping. And they would do it up in Connecticut and Massachusetts. All along the coast, the big white pines are moving to the shipbuilding yards.
That was Jeff Dexter, the artist of the wooden flag. The donated wooden flag is on display in the DCS storefront, 25 Main Street, Narrowsburg, New York.
This bridge has stood the test of time with memories collected. A bridge is like a state of mind with different worlds connected. If we go a little slower, we can make it last. The way to the future is the bridge from the past. Isn't it worth saving? Save it all from the wrecking ball. This bridge is more than cold hard steel. From olden days of glory, a link to how our hearts can heal and tell a different story. Instead of building a wall, a bridge is what we lack. Once we burn the future, there is no going back. Isn't it worth saving? Isn't it worth saving? Isn't it worth saving? Save it all from the wrecking ball. This bridge has crossed a great divide of history in the making. A world where future hopes collide and dreams are for the taking. If we change the story, the bridge will take us there. We can save our future or build a bridge to nowhere. Isn't it worth saving? Isn't it worth saving? Isn't it worth saving? Save it all from the wrecking ball. Save it all from the wrecking ball.
Milanville community members Joanne Brinkerhoff on guitar and Dan Brinkerhoff on violin and banjo composed this music inspired by preserving the Skinner's Falls Bridge. You can find Poison Love Band on their Facebook page.
Good morning. This is Stephanie Phillips with Now You Know for Farm and Country. This morning, I have the pleasure of meeting with Kathy Dawkins and Debbie Burke, their past president and current president of Calico Geese Quilters. If you've ever thought that you'd like to do quilting, listen carefully. Ladies, please introduce yourself.
I am Debbie Burke, and I am the current president of the Calico Geese.
And my name is Kathy Dawkins. I have been the president. I started my presidency during COVID. I was vice president when COVID started, and then I just finally transitioned to Debbie. Debbie was president of the Calico Geese when I joined the guild back in 2014. So Debbie is doing a second cycle.
The name of your club is unusual, the Calico Geese Quilters. Now, how did you come up with that name?
The Geese were founded in 1986 by a group of quilters. Calico is a word that refers to a type of fabric. It's an all-cotton fabric that is usually printed on to the fabric rather than woven in. It's typically smaller floral prints.
Yes, that's what a lot of it was when they started.
Tiny floral prints. So calico is... When you quilt with a cotton fabric.
Yes.
You can quilt with other fabrics, but typically speaking, we use a cotton fabric, and so calico would have been, especially in the 80s, would have been the fabric of choice for quilting. Geese, one of the standard blocks in quilting is a flying geese. It's a block that has a triangle, and it has two separate wing triangles on either end, and they call that a flying geese. I think that when they created the guild, they thought that was a clever play on words.
Yes.
So the Calico Geese Quilters.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Do you know who started this?
I think it was Connie Stengel, the person who orchestrated the Quilting Guild.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the old members. So Connie Stangle, my neighbor was Ann Thaw, Sally Abrams. There are still a few around.
Yeah.
We just lost Connie within the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But she was a real force to reckon with.
Yeah. Very talented lady.
Debbie, are all the members old-timers? Can anybody join?
No, we are not all old-timers. We actually just had two or three new members who are beginner quilters. They really don't know much about quilting at all. Anybody can join.
And we have some younger members. There are male quilters.
We have one gentleman, yes.
We have a member, Lance Gaylord, who we just absolutely adore. He's an active and vital member of our guild and has been for a number of years. We have women quite elderly. The general population probably falls between 50 and up.
And we go from beginner, people do not know anything about quilting, to an advanced, experienced people who have been in magazines. There's a wide variety of talent.
And there's a wide variety of what you can do with quilting. There are quilting techniques that require intensive skill and knowledge and ability. And there are other quilting techniques. You can make an absolutely beautiful product with very simple techniques.
Yeah.
Anybody can join. Anybody can learn. We are happy to spend time with people. We love teaching our craft.
Kathy, how long were you president and what were your duties?
I was president several times, and then I took over once. I was vice president for someone, and then her husband got quite ill, so I took over as president for her. So I was president for 6 years running, but I had been before. But the duties generally are to be the interface with the extension, be the interface if we are doing any activities with an outside organization. So when I mentioned those places that we donate quilts to, a lot of coordination with that. As the president, I don't manage the money. We have two co-treasurers, which works out really well. But you do have to oversee the money and understand what's being done with the money and sort of be the person who ensures that when things need to get approval of the full membership, that they do come up with ideas and make adjustments when adjustments are necessary. We alluded to the Saturday workshops, and frankly, a fair amount of what we do is coordinating. Do we want to get an outside teacher to come in and teach us some technique? Do we just want to use the skills and knowledge we have towards a common purpose? Debbie has come up with an idea that our guild will work on something with our veterans, which is called Quilts of Honor. Debbie, talk about that.
They're quilts, and they're done usually in red, white, and blue. And there are specifications that you have to follow, which I cannot tell you off the top of my head what they are. Quilts of Valor, they're called. And what you do is you make the quilts, and then we can decide if we want to go to the Coalition for the Veterans and donate them, or go to a nursing home and donate to veterans. But it's just a nice thing to acknowledge the veterans. And so that's a new project we're going to be taking on in 2025.
When were you elected to office, Debbie? You said
September. In September of 2024. But I was president once before.
2014.
I was president for 2 years, and that's the term. It's usually 2 years.
Is there a formal election?
Yes. It's 2 or 3 months beforehand. You have to present who is going to be running for the officers. People have to be nominated, and then each month we have to announce, and then in September we vote, and then the new president and the new officers take over.
Now here's an important question.
What's that?
Do you serve refreshments at your meetings?
Oh, goodness, yes, we do. We have a lot of good bakers. The quilting ladies are good bakers, yes. And we'll have a business part of the meeting, and then we usually take a break, and we'll have our refreshments and socialize and whatever. And then after that, we usually have a raffle where we have Kathy and Peggy have several items out on the table, and you can buy, it's 3 tickets for $1. And then you could win some sort of a sewing quilting item. And then after that, we have what we call show and tell, and people show what they've made. That's always fun to see what people are doing and making and stuff.
Get new ideas.
So, yeah.
Get new ideas.
Yep.
Does the group meet all year round?
Yes, we do. We meet every month. We're here, unless it's bad weather.
And we have a fair number of snowbirds.
Some of the Floridians are gone, yeah.
I was surprised to learn that other guilds in our region, there are several that don't meet in the summer. They don't meet in the summer. I think that's, you know, we have people who are only here
in
for 4 or 5 months out of the year. We wait for them to come back, but we quilt all winter as well. So.
Yep.
If you're going to have a group quilt, how do you work that out?
Depends. We have had instances where we're making a group quilt. You have a team who's in charge. They might pre-cut some of the pieces, and then you come in and you work together, and they give you assignments. We had a suggestion just the other night that, gee, you know, we could, for the Quilts of Valor, we might say we're going to make 8 of these Quilts of Valor, and Debbie, I want you to make this star block, and I want you to make 8 of them, and I want you to make this border piece, and I want you to make 8 of them, and then we'll come together on a Saturday, and we'll
piece them all together.
But then another way is the way that I talked about before of the round robin.
There's many ways to do it. Or you could just sit and do it yourself. Just do from start to finish. Mm-hmm. You know?
And you have to decide on a design. Everybody has
a pattern.
A pattern.
You know, because every year we make what we call an annual quilt. And we use that to display at various craft fairs and craft events around the community throughout the year. And we sell tickets on
raffles,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we will have a committee every year who is devoted to designing what that quilt is going to be. So there are lots of different techniques that are used, lots of different ways that we use to put it together. Sometimes we'll pick a pattern, and then I always say the best part of being on the annual quilt team is you get to pick the pattern, and then you get to go shopping and go
pick
to lunch.
The fabrics.
So that's the fun part, to go pick out the fabrics that you're going to use.
If somebody would like to join your club, whom should they call?
Debbie.
They can call me, Debbie Burke, 845-798-6056, or they can call here at the Cooperative Extension at 845-292-6180. Or you can stop by on Thursday mornings, see and meet and see what happens with the geese.
Sounds like fun.
We do have a lot of fun.
We'd love to have you.
We have a lot of fun. It's a lot of camaraderie and a lot of talent.
How many people are in the club?
Between 40 and 50. I'm not exactly sure.
There are probably 25 who just are really, really, really active.
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
A wonderful group of people.
Yeah.
Skills learned, life lessons learned,
yep.
Supporting each other. Quilting is a great way to keep your brain active and keep your mental acuity.
It's a lot of math, a lot of geometry, and you use rulers, you have measurements, and stuff that people don't even think about, but it's like you have to be precise.
As we get older, we tend to do some smaller and smaller pieces. So, you know, you can do a big, huge king-size quilt, queen-size quilt. I'm working on a project right now where I'm working on my grandmother's handkerchiefs, and I'm hand-quilting in the handkerchief, so I have a small piece that fits in an embroidery hoop. I'm actually going to make a wall hanging. I have 3 of them going, and I'm going to attach them, and I'll make a vertical wall hanging. No machine involved in that one.
It's all hand.
That's all hand
done. So now you know about the Calico Geese Quilters, who've been busy making quilts for almost 40 years. You've heard about them from Kathy Dawkins and Debbie Burke, past president and current president of the Calico Geese Quilters. If you'd like to suggest topics for future Now You Know segments, email me at stephanie@wjffradio.org. This has been Stephanie Phillips for Farm and Country.
We hope that you enjoyed our show this week with production by Radio Catskill volunteers, Stephanie Phillips and myself, Rosie Starr. Special thanks goes to our guests, community members Stephen Scharf and Jeff Dexter, sharing their sentiments about preserving the Skinner's Falls Bridge in Milanville, Pennsylvania.